Hey, what's up? It's your homegirl, Complex Angel, and welcome back to another episode of Self Love is My Rehab, where we are all tired of abuse being our addiction. I'm about to get my partner in crime, DC, on the line so we can start the show. So please tune in and love yourself. Yo, yo, DC, what's going on?
Not much. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
I know. About to get the guest on so we can start the show, okay?
For sure.
Hey, Tyronda, what's going on?
Nothing much. Everything is good over here.
Awesome.
How are you?
Okay. good. Tyronda, meet my co-host, DC. DC, Tyronda.
What's
nice
going on, Tyronda? Nice to meet you as well. Welcome to Self Love is My Rehab.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Good,
all right,
good.
DC, what was the vibe of the week?
Well, I mean, let me tell you. So, I don't even know how to put it because I'm still in all smiles right now, honestly. I'll put it to you this way. I am no longer living in the shadows of my old self and the mistakes that I've made in the past. For people who may not know, you know, I had a issue back in 2016 where, you know, I had a couple DUIs, being, you know, irresponsible and ignorant in my 20s, you know, as most of us do, you know, but, you know, I made some life turning mistakes and I had to own up to those and, you know, had to make a decision to better myself. And, you know, 4 years later, I, you know, finally am uplifted of my restrictions and,
awesome.
Like I said, I don't have to live in my, you know, my shadows no more. As my old self, you know, I can move forward in the light of God and, you know, continue to embrace the new person that I am today. So, I mean, it's exciting. I mean, because the restrictions that I had was, you know, a restricted license, of course, and a ignition interlock and stuff like that. So, like, when I finally got it taken out, I sat in the parking lot and I started my car up like at least four times because like it was so awesome. It was an awesome feeling to just know that I can just start my car up right away and not have to wait like 5 to 10 minutes just to start up my car and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, as the great Martin Luther King said, "Free at last, thank God Almighty, free at last." Like, It's a beautiful feeling. So, I mean, that's been my vibe of the week. I mean, honestly, that's probably going to be the vibe of the week for the next few weeks. So, if it get
that's
redundant and it get old, I'm sorry for you. Like, this is the time to embracing myself. Like, I'm loving myself right now.
No, we all have to live in our testimonies. Every, you know, test gives us a testimony. So, trust me, embrace it. I'm very happy for you. Thank you for sharing that. Well, last week we didn't do an episode. We took a little break. But the week before last, we had Queen Picasso in the building to talk about the pros and cons of being modest. You know, society always looks at a quiet person as someone who is very intimidated by others, someone easy to pick on. And, you know, we've always looked over the quiet guys to get the guys who are very flashy. And it turns out the person who is very quiet has something more to prove than the person who's loud and obnoxious. You know, with quiet people, they can observe others, like, you know, before making that decision if I want to have you in my life or not. But was there anything that you wanted to piggyback on about being modest, Tyronda?
So being modest, I would say that definition is different for other people. Like, for me, if I go out, I'm more so, I guess I would say, flashy or somewhat obnoxious, but when I'm in my own space or in a professional field, I'm modest. And that's more so because I am trying to take in everything around me and trying to learn as much as possible, especially like in a professional setting. So
right.
I feel like that's perfectly fine. And some people, they're modest all the time. Some people, they're not at all. And
right.
Like when you were saying with the guys, like a lot of times, the guys who are obnoxious and or flashy or whatever, they're a lot of fun. And not saying you can't learn a lot from them either, because you can, but it is a lot of times the ones who are can sometimes be who have things that you can learn from in a different way. And a lot of times those are the type of people that you want to build relationships with long term, if that's something that you want to do, because I know that's not everybody's pill to swallow,
yeah.
But it's what a lot of people are looking forward to.
That part, you're all some real stuff, like you said. Okay, she dropping heavy gems already, so DC, I'm going to let you introduce the shut me the fuck up topic tonight so we can get into it.
Yes, I'm eager after that response. So, the shut me the fuck up topic tonight is on gaslighting. And, you know, first of all, you know, for people who may not know what a gaslighter is, it's in which a person or entity, in order to gain power, makes a victim question their reality. You know, it's common with, you know, it's a common technique for abusers, dictators, and narcissists. You know, and we tend to identify those with intimate relationships, but, you know, have we necessarily went through it with family members or, you know, friends within themselves? So my first question for you, Tyrande, is, well, for me, like, I feel like the goal for a gaslighter is to make their victim undermine their own judgment and reduce their self-esteem, making the victim rely and depend on them. So I was wondering, like, how do you respond to someone who is gaslighting you?
For me personally, how I respond to someone who is gaslighting usually is depending on my relationship with that person and how I choose to move forward in that relationship with that person. Because like how you said, gaslighting is a tool often used in abusive relationships and for narcissists and things like that. But
right.
A lot of times people look at gaslighting as something that's just intentionally done for people to gain that power. But a lot of times people gaslight and they don't even realize they're intentionally doing it. And it has more to do with them than it does you.
Right.
And that's something that I've just found out in my experiences. Like sometimes people, there are different things about their lives and they don't want to admit to themselves that that's what's going on for them. So they try to frame it as that didn't happen. That's not what I said.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to see themselves in a negative light. And when you realize that that's where somebody is coming from, you can't necessarily be like, oh, well, I want to say like sometimes we want to put the blame on people like, oh, you did this to me, which they did do. But it's because of whatever is going on with them. And you have to understand that whatever is going on with them has no real effect on you unless you allow it to.
Right.
So, like, if it's somebody you want to continue a relationship with, like, be it someone in your family or a very close friend, you can look at it objectively, the situation that happened, and just think to yourself, well, that's not my truth. I know what happened. I know what was said. And I'm going to continue in a relationship from my standpoint of my truth. And if you feel like that the relationship is costing too much, like it's taking too much of emotional and mental toll on you, then you can say, you know what, I'm going to step back from this because this is not serving me in any way.
Right. Oof, that part.
Okay.
you have something else to say, DC?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Definitely. You're on a roll with this, Tyrande, when you're saying like sometimes people can gaslight and don't even realize that they're doing it. And you know, you had touched on whether it's family, friends, or relationships. Do you feel gaslighting happens in other relationships besides intimate relationships? And the reason why I ask that is because I had a phone conversation with a family member like back in August. And, you know, I was just basically expressing my pain about a certain family member, you know, that hurt me. And basically he made it seem like I was tripping and made me question like, well, damn, am I tripping? So, like, do you feel gaslighting happens in other relationships besides intimate relationships? And do you feel that's what kind of blurs it, you know what I'm saying, when we get into a relationship?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely gaslighting happens in other relationships. And I feel like a lot of us have those kind of experiences with family. Like, I know for you guys, you probably don't know, though Natasha might know just because I know she's my friend on social media. But probably about 2 years ago, I ended my relationship with my dad. I could not do it anymore. And it was mainly because of the fact that I had issues with my dad's wife. And she was a huge gaslighter. And if there were times where I literally saw her gaslight my dad in front of my eyes, and it was crazy to me that he just went along with it. Like, she'd be like, oh, yeah, because this happened, didn't it, Jake? And he'd be like, and he was confused, but in his mind, I guess she had done it so much that he was just like, yeah, yeah, I think that happened. And me and my sister were sitting there looking like, that is not what happened.
Right.
But it was years of that. Like, because she came into my life, I want to say, when I was 16, and I'm 30 now. So it was years of that. And it finally came to a head probably about 3 years ago, because I was working for her for about 6 months. And when the day that I decided to quit, I called her up, let her know that I felt like my time there was coming to an end. And she went off on me for about 45 minutes saying, I'm so glad you said that, because I don't like you working for me anymore. I felt like it's been all this tension. And she was going off basically trying to say, like, I was this horrible person and I treated her terribly and all kinds of things like that. And it really just blew my mind that she had came at me like that. And at first it made me question, like, well, was I treating her like this? And after a while, I had to sit there and be like, no, that's not what happened. You know that's not what happened. So a couple of days later, I went to her house because I had to drop off the key to her job. And I wanted to have a conversation with her. And I actually recorded the conversation. And she tried to make it seem like my work ethic was terrible. Now, remind you, at every job I've ever worked at, people have talked about how great my work ethic is. So I'm just like, she said I was the worst employee that she ever had work for her. And she tried to say that I stole money from her, which didn't happen. And she even said that at one point, because we were talking about all this stuff from the past, because she just kept bringing up that I was holding resentment of her from the past, our past relationship. I'm like, I don't have resentment from you, because I've worked on my feelings for you over the past decade. So I'm like, well, if you want to talk about the past, we can talk about it. And I brought it to her attention that the first 2 years she was in my life, like, she did not even spend time with me for real. There were a lot of times she wouldn't even be in the same room with me when I was at her house. And I'm just like, you know, those things happen. And then she tried to put it on my mother and said that my mother told her, threatened her, those were the words, threatened her to stay away from me. And the conversation that she brought up, I remember when my mother had this conversation with her, that is not what happened. I know the whole story of what happened. She thought that I didn't know. So she told me this story. And I even said, I don't remember that story going like this. And she says, oh, of course it went like that. Why would I lie? And it's like, you're asking me, why would you lie? But you just lied about my work ethic and me stealing from you. But it's like, but I'm, it was her way of trying to get me to believe her and make it seem like everything was everybody else's fault except for her. And then my dad, he would play off of that too. Oh, well, AJ is sorry. She's been self-reflecting. She's been doing this, this, and that. But yeah, I never received an apology. I don't believe anybody has been trying to be a better person if they can't own up to their faults and apologize for what they've done. That's just the type of person I am. Like, I have reached out to people that I haven't talked to in years and apologized to them for different things that I felt like I've wronged them on. So it's like, I know if I can do that, somebody who's about 20 years older than me can do the same thing. So we definitely see gaslighting in families and relationships like that. But what makes it worse is that in families, those networks try to keep the family as a unit, and then gaslight happens from other people as well. So, like, my dad's side of the family, they all live down south. We live up north. We don't even see them that often. But as soon as I said something negatively about my dad's wife, oh, my aunts and uncles were upset. They're all trying to tell me that I need to practice agape love and forgive her and serve my father and be nice to his wife and everything like that. And it was just like, I can't anymore with them. It was just past the point where I could tolerate it anymore, because at the end, it was about 12 years of feeling like an outsider, feeling like I wasn't welcome in my own family, finding out that this woman didn't even tell people that her husband was previously married and had kids from that marriage. It was just things like that that just kept coming up. And it was like, I can't continue to ignore things like that anymore. And sometimes you just have to take that step for yourself and be like, you know what, this is not for me. And that's okay. And your family sometimes will not understand that because they feel like, well, the family needs to stay whole and together. But at some point, the family has to understand that everybody has to be held accountable, no matter what.
Yes. Okay. See, look.
Mm. Lord Jesus.
She just answered one of my questions. I don't even need to answer. I don't even need to ask her where she's going. Oh, shoot.
No, I mean, yeah, like, and it's crazy because, like, you, like, literally, like, dissected, like, you know, the whole family portion of it. You know what I'm saying? Because, like,
mm-hmm.
my situations with family, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I get the whole idea is that, like you said, to like, you know, like the families must stay whole and everything like that. You know what I'm saying? That's the idea. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's
mm-hmm.
how it should, you know what I'm saying? That's how it's portrayed often in movies. You know what I'm saying? Like, you may have like those crazy, you know, different cut from a different cloth type of, you know, family members and, you know, that they display in movies and stuff like that. Like, you had like a crazy aunt or you got like the stuck up cousin that, you know, or the one that's just, you know, loose as a goose. But, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, like, they all like family, you know what I'm saying? They locked
mm-hmm.
in, you know what I'm saying? But I think like for me, and I feel like this messed with my mental a lot, you know what I'm saying? It was like, really, like, as I grew up amongst, like, you know, my cousins who were pretty much around the same age group, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was a lot of favoritism, you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
in a sense. And I don't even know if it was, like, you know, intentional, but it was just a simple fact of, like, that's who they gravitated towards, you know what I'm saying? And honestly, it made me feel like I wasn't a part of the family, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, I have, like, three brackets in my family members where, like, there's three different last names, but they all tied in with each other. And, like, you know, when like, the crossovers, you know, came into play, like, you know, like, certain family members with this last name started, you know, getting in cool with, you know, these family members and so forth, you know what I'm saying? I was kind of, like, stuck in the middle, like, you know, like, damn, like, the ones that I grew up with is branching off with other cousins, and it's like, you know, you kind of get left behind, and it's like, the old heads, I should say, like the aunts and uncles and
mm-hmm.
shit like that, they play a huge factor in it too. And even like the older cousins, you know what I'm saying, that's kind of like around
mm-hmm.
the same age as like the old heads and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying, like they play this certain favoritism where, like, you know, and honestly, like it plays a bigger role when it comes to social media, you know what I'm saying, because it's like, I feel like social media, it damages so much within like a person group or, you know, whatever the case may be. It damages it so much because it's like, you know, I feel like social media is like a platform for you, you know, to basically, how can I say it? Put the spotlight on certain people, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you would have like this one cousin, for, you know, for example, who, you know, who's been like a hothead all his life. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, wasn't really good academically, maybe dropped out of high school and, you know, started hugging the streets a little bit tighter than, you know, than usual. But it's like, he would get more praise than, you know, a kid who actually got his damn diploma, tried college for, you know, for a little bit, you know what I'm saying, stayed out of trouble and everything like that. And it's like, it make you feel like, well, damn, like, what, I mean, did the path that I go down was wrong? Like, you know what I'm saying? How is this person getting more validation and, you know, and more spotlight and more, you know, love and care and attention than a person who's been on a straight and narrow and ain't really, you know, ain't really been about no dumb shit? You know what I'm saying? Because,
mm-hmm.
like, in a nutshell, basically, that's kind of like what, you know, how I felt growing up within my family was. And kind of honestly, even to this day, like, you know, even though I'm more standoffish now, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, I realize now that, you know, life is more than just trying to please people, whether that's, you know, a person that you're in a relationship with, friends or family. You know what I'm saying? I still get that, you know, that feeling of, like, you know, like, damn, like, don't nobody check up on a nigga. You know what I'm saying? And it's like,
mm-hmm.
you get to that selfish act. I'm at a point now where it's, like, almost, like, damn near selfish to where it's, like, okay, I'm not about to be the first one to do it because, you know, I've been trying since I was, like, fucking 10, 12 years old to kind of, like, be a part of a family that I was born into, you know what I'm saying? And just, you know, like, the older you get, the more you kind of just grow apart even more, you know what I'm saying? So that naturally just kind of happens, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
it just made me feel like I was familyless. Like, you know what I'm saying? I didn't really have a family like that. And the part I hated the most is, like, you know, everybody gets together and wants to be whole when they're saying goodbye to somebody. That's the part that gets me the most. That's the part I hate the most, is that, you know, you get together and you want to be one and you want to say I love you and be safe and stuff out here is when somebody's passed. You know what I'm saying? And you got to show up to the funeral and pretend like it's, you know, everything is like peaches and cream and like we've been kicking it, you know what I'm saying, like for the longest. Like, no, like that's not the case. Like, I want to be able to holler at family on a regular basis and just be like, you know, hey, how you doing? You know what I'm saying? Just checking up on you, yada, yada, yada. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's rough. It is definitely rough. Like, I feel like, honestly, gaslighting happened a lot in, you know, within, like, the family life versus anything else. You know what I'm saying? It probably hurt more than anything else. But enough of my ranting. on to my next question. It kind of ties into it a little bit. Have you ever found yourself gaslighting as a child or as an adult?
Now, when you say gaslighting, you mean have I gaslighted other people?
No, I was as far as like within yourself. Like, have you ever been a person to, you know, to be gaslighting? Because, you know, you brought it up earlier that sometimes, you know, people can gaslight and not, you know, necessarily know that they're doing it. But I was wondering, like, have you ever possibly done it as a child or as an adult?
For that, I don't necessarily know. The reason why I say that is because a lot of times we as people, we can do something that negatively affects somebody else and we don't even realize we've done it and we don't even think about it. And a lot of times we never even know until the person brings it up to our attention. So to say, have I done it? I honestly don't know, but I will say that for me, I feel like gaslighting a lot of times is a way for people to be dishonest. And it's dishonest either intentionally or unintentionally. So you're being either dishonest to yourself because you don't want to admit certain things about yourself, or you're being dishonest intentionally to others to be able to have a certain outcome that you want. And I feel like a lot of the times I try to maintain honesty and integrity within myself so that, and I feel like as long as I can do that within myself, then I can do that with other people. And so I usually look at it as, for me, I don't have a reason to try to change the story or lie a lot of the time, because if I'm okay with what I did or what I didn't do or what I said or didn't say, then I know that I am being truthful with you about how I feel. Now, if I feel like I hurt your feelings or if I could have said it wrong or said it differently, then a lot of times I will come back and apologize to people. Like I said, I've reached out to people numerous times, people that I used to be friends with, people that I used to be close with, and truly apologized to them for certain things I felt like I was in the wrong for. And I just feel like you can only really do stuff like that if you self-reflect a lot, which a lot of people don't do. So for me personally, I can't say that I've gaslighted, but I'm not going to say that I haven't, because if somebody was to ever bring it to my attention, then I would have to understand that and own up to it.
Okay. Yeah, because I mean, the only reason why I ask, like, because, like, I don't know if it would be considered, like, I guess, petty gaslighting, you know, as far as, like, as a child. Because, like, I give you an example, like, chores that you would normally have to do. Like, if you half-ass do them and, like, your parent come to you, like, hey, did you do this? Did you do that? Like, yeah. Like, no, you didn't. Yes, I did. Like, like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's somewhere in that nature. Because I know for me, like, I would have chores to, like, you know, like, as little as, like, maybe even fold my own clothes, or, like, you know, when a parent is teaching you, like, to fold your clothes or whatever. And it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you kind of half-ass fold clothes, or, like, you half-ass put up, like, you know, your laundry and stuff like that. And, you know, they kind of question you about it, and, like, you won't, you hold your water like a motherfucker. Like, you be like, you know, I did it like you said. Like, you know what I'm saying? I did it like you said, mama. Like, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, she looking at your work, and she, you know what I'm saying? She ain't stupid, and she know damn well, like, you know what I'm saying? You didn't do it right, but you stick to your guns, and, you know, you just be like, you know, I did it. And then, like, they try to, you know, point it out to you kind of thing, to, like, you know, call you out on your bullshit. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't know like that, if that would probably be considered, like, you know, like petty gaslighting as a child or whatnot. Because, I mean, cause, like, even you know you ain't doing it right. But, like, you're going to still listen to parents'
kids.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask, since you had said that sometimes we don't know when we're doing it, we can pretty much like point out examples. So like, is there any examples that like you would want to name? Like, I've always wondered when you try to talk to a parent or a family member about something that you did, or you know, even like in a relationship, and you know, they basically, they'll admit like, okay, I know that I've done this before, but they'll still flip it on you, like, you know what I'm saying, to make you feel like, you know what, maybe I shouldn't have mentioned it. Like, I had a situation where I was talking to another family member, and she wanted to know why we weren't as close as, you know, we used to be. And I told her, like, it's just so much hurtful things that you did to me growing up. And she felt like a certain friend that I hung around with, she felt like I was more close to my friend than I was with her. And basically, after we got off the phone, after I told her everything, she sent me a long message about, like, I know I wasn't the best and everything like that, but still, you make it seem like this person is better than me, you're going to regret it. Like, is that an example of gaslighting? Because at the end of the day, I felt like, well, damn, maybe I shouldn't have said nothing. Maybe, you know what I'm saying, she didn't mean to be as horrible as she is to me. Like, I felt like I was tripping. Is that an example of gaslighting, or what are some examples you can name?
I don't know if I can necessarily say that's an example of gaslighting, only because the person admitted that, yes, they could have did things differently instead of just saying, I didn't do anything wrong. But the person is in a frame of denial based in their own hurt. So it's like, as long as they want to keep staying in that way, they're not ever going to see a different perspective. And
that's
a hard truth to deal with when it comes to a lot of people. And that even happens with people who do gaslighting, who's like, I didn't do this, I didn't say that. As long as they're in denial based off of a reality that they created for themselves, they're not ever going to see a different perspective that leads them closer to the truth of the reality.
That's crazy. It's crazy how people think in different perspectives. Like, I never used to understand it. Like, I used to think people who were woke and, like, you know, who would tell me stuff, I'm like, okay, maybe you're just a little bit crazy. But then when I became woke, I'm like, okay, yeah, it's just crazy the sense that people, you know what I'm saying, can think on different perspectives. And like you said, they don't want to really be honest with themselves that they have a problem, that you know, they're a little bit more toxic than they would like to believe.
And I know you brought up examples. Like, I actually had an incident kind of similar to the incident you had with a cousin around Christmas time. So, like, we do Christmas brunch at my grandmother's house every year. And everybody has, like, cooking crew and cleaning crew. And I've always been on cooking crew or whatever like that. So this past year, my aunt and uncle said, oh, we're going to officially pass the torch to the cousins, like the nieces and nephews. So we said, okay. So my aunt included all of us in a group text message, and then when I woke up the next morning, I texted everybody out, like, who wants to do what? Who wants to be on cleaning crew? Who wants to be on cooking crew? Who wants to do blah, blah? Now, it was just a random text message that I sent out just to get things. So my oldest cousin, I guess, apparently felt offended by it because she felt like she was supposed to be the person in charge, and I was taking over or stepping on her toes. And it's like, you know, if you wanted to be in charge of the situation, all you had to do was say that. Like, I didn't put that out there to be in charge anyway. Like, I'm in medical school. Like, I don't have time to be putting together anyway. I was just trying to initiate the conversation. But basically, like, she went on this whole thing where she kept trying to antagonize me. And I wasn't falling into the bait because I've had this with her before. And then when I didn't take the bait, then she called up my aunt trying to make it seem like I was just treating her so wrongly. Then she called up my sister and did the same thing, and called up another cousin and did the same thing. And then at the end of it all, she's just like, I don't understand what your problem is with me. It always seems like we have tension between us, and I just don't understand why you have an issue with your big cousin. And it was like a similar situation to what you had with your cousin. Like, you've always come at me reckless every single time we've had something going on. And it's like, and she doesn't just do that with me, she does that with everybody. Like, a lot of times, like, apparently recently she got into it with, like, an auntie and some cousins and everything, because it's like she just does that. But she doesn't want to acknowledge that she does stuff like that.
Yeah.
But she also has mental health issues. So, I mean, you can't get someone to see different things about themselves. But it's like after I told her everything that I felt, she never responded. And then the next time I saw her at Christmas, she acted like nothing had happened. So I left it alone.
Yeah, she's just not ready to realize it.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, I got one more question for you. Question is, do you feel it's easy to move on from a gaslighting person, or would the relationship between you and the gaslighter make it difficult to do so?
I feel like it's never easy to move on from any intimate relationship, but definitely in a gaslighting relationship, it's definitely going to be harder just because of the fact that if you have not been able to have an objective view throughout that relationship where you can, like, stand in your truth for the most part, it's going to be very hard to leave that relationship because the person has been lying to you to frame your reality to a way that they want you to see it. So if you see that reality, you're not going to see it in a way that feels like I need to get out of this. It's kind of like being in an abusive relationship, like how you mentioned earlier, a lot of abusers use gaslighting. The thing is, like, you're just not going to be able to feel like you can leave the relationship. You're going to feel like you're incapable of doing so. You're going to feel like you're incapable of standing on your own 2 feet past the relationship. And it's going to be hard for you to do that. So, like, even with the example with my dad, like, growing up, my dad was, like, the best thing in the world to me. We did almost everything together. So, like, my dad taught me how to tie a tie, shave, and all kinds of other stuff like that. So it was very hard to move on from that relationship. But me ending my relationship with him 2 years ago wasn't the first time I tried to end my relationship with him over the 12 years leading up to that point. I actually was going to end it multiple times, and then my dad kept talking me out of doing so. And it was hard because you have those good memories. You want to hold on to those good memories. You want to wish that things were the way that you hope for them to be. And then when the people tell you that things are going to be different, things are going to be better, and it's going to be exactly how it was before or whatever, when you had those good memories, you want to hold on to that. You want to believe that. And then when you start to get to the point where you're like, well, I need to leave this, then you start wondering, can I do that? What is my life going to look like past this person or past this parent or past this friend? And the first thing you're going to think of is, like, it's going to be a void in your life, and you're not going to be able to know how to fill that void. And you may not ever be able to fill that void. It might just be there. But a lot of times that fear of the void, that fear of that loneliness, that fear of that abandonment is what keeps us there. And we will continue to want to live the false reality of our life, because it's better than having to face everything else that comes with it.
That part.
Everybody that's listening right now, y'all can't listen no more until y'all pay this woman, because this is paid responses right here. You got Cash App around. We're gonna have to give out your Cash App, because nobody else can't hear you speaking today. They pay you $10. Like, you drive.
It's okay. They don't have to pay me money.
you dropping some gems, man. Like, I'm in awe. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah,
like,
with that being said, can you give some last bit of words of encouragement to someone out there who is dealing with a gaslighter?
For me, if the only words I would give to somebody who is dealing with a gaslighter right now, it's going to be cliche, but I'm going to quote Shakespeare, to thine own self be true, because really that's what it is. You're going to have to hold on to your truth with both hands, like hold on as hard as you can, because a lot of times gaslighters are going to try to take that from you so that you can now take on their truth. So you have to hold on to your truth with your own two hands, which means looking at your situation through objective eyes. Now, that is going to be very hard, because a lot of us are emotions first and rationality and objection later. So a lot of times, like, if I feel like I'm in a situation where like that, where my emotions are clouding my situation, I would say get a pen and paper, a journal, something, write down all of your emotions, and you'll be surprised what all comes up when you start writing. Like, and a lot of times,
right.
sometimes when we're in these situations, we don't even want to pick up a pen because we know once we write down everything, it's going to be some hard truths in there that we've been ignoring for some time. So, but eventually you're going to get to that point where you're just going to be like, I need some clarity in the situation, and you're going to pick up a pen and paper and a journal or whatever, and you're going to write it all out. And then you can go back and you can read through everything you said and pick out the parts that line up with your truth, but then also pick out the parts that are objective between both perspectives, yours and the gaslighter, and see what is there in the middle once you figure out everything. Once you are able to look at everything, what is there in the middle? And in those moments, you can be able to see where you need to hold yourself accountable, either for things that you did or for things that you allowed to take place against you. Or you can see also a way to either something better or a way out.
Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for that. Oh, okay. Right now we're going to segue into Let Your Light Shine moment. Tyrona, this is your moment. I'm going to ask you two questions. The first question is, what part of self-love has been challenging for you so far in your life?
Okay. What has been challenging for me so far in my life with self-love? A lot of times I don't think about it like that just because of the fact that I felt like I was given a lot of love by my parents growing up. So I didn't necessarily have to deal with self-love issues until like my later teen years and early 20s. But I will say what has been most challenging for me when it comes to self-love is to make sure that I'm not people-pleasing at times. Because for people, we all like to people-please, but sometimes you stay in situations longer than you need to be because you don't want to hurt the other person. You don't want to let them down. So sometimes you have to be honest with yourself and say, you know what, this is not for me. It's not making me happy. And at the end of the day, my baseline is to be happy in life. Like, I don't want to live an unhappy life. I want to live a life that's full of happiness. So if it's not making me happy, I can't be sad to face the truth that I'm about to let this person down and disappoint them.
Okay. All right. Thank you. What are some self-love tips you do for yourself? Because I know you're in school. No, you're not in school anymore, right? For your
no,
doctors?
I'm still in school.
You're still in school? Okay, so I know it's been real stressful. So what are some self-love tips you do for yourself to, you know, make sure that you have peace of mind?
It's hard right now. Like, these have been the most stressful 3 years of my life so far. But... No, it really is. But I would say when I get time, because a lot of times you don't have the time, and if you do have the time, you don't have the energy, and that's really what it is in the program I'm in. But if I have the time and or the energy, I go out and I do things that I like to do, which right now is mainly going – well, not right now because we're in a pandemic. But before quarantine, I would go to the bar, and I would – I went to a hole-in-the-wall bar, not like an upscale bar. I wanted to go someplace where, you know, I could be my most genuine self and not have to worry about the next person judging or whatever. So I would go to the nice hole-in-the-wall bar, play the music that I wanted to hear, get the drinks that I wanted to drink, and just let loose for a night before I had to buckle down and be back to studying and getting minimal sleep and being stressed all day long.
Yes, I pray you can get a massage or something, and you know, massage them temples, because I can't imagine going back to school. People keep saying, when are you going back? Listen, let me, you know what I'm saying, let me get into the work field before I go back. But yes. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let the listeners know where they can find you at if you want to give out your social media page.
Let me see.
Well,
no, I just don't let people follow me on Twitter because I'm reckless on Twitter. But I can't give my IG though.
Okay.
Okay. My page is private on there, but if you follow me and send a message or whatever saying that it's from the podcast, I have no problem with allowing you to follow me and to follow back. But my
awesome.
My Instagram's at TYRONDAVID, A, D as in Davis, again, E as in violin, O, and then N as in Nancy. So it's going to be Tyronda Devin.
Okay. Yes, y'all, please go follow her. I'm telling you, she drops heavy gems on there all the time. Okay.
Yeah, she
Yes. Now we're going to segue into shout-outs and appreciation. Tyronda, I'm going to let you go first. Anybody you want to shout-out or show appreciation to?
Okay. Shout-out to my sister, because my sister is my most important person in the world to me. I know that sounds terrible because I'm in a relationship, but she is the most important person in the world to me. My sister is my mirror. Like, if I ever have to ask myself, am I tripping or something like that, I can ask her, and I know I'm going to get an honest answer from her. So, shout out to my boyfriend also. He's getting better at that. So, because, you know, sometimes, you know, boyfriends, they try to act like you not, you don't have flaws. Like, I know I have flaws. Let's talk about them.
Right.
And shout out to my mother for always instilling self-esteem in me, because that was something that she lacked from her parents all around. So she wanted to make sure that she gave that to her daughter.
Shout out. Okay. All right, DC.
All right, for sure. First and foremost, I give a shout out to Self Love Is My Rehab, because without Self Love Is My Rehab, I would not have announced today that I am a free man. You know what I'm saying? Like, this has been a therapeutic podcast for me.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It played a huge role in, you know, of my good news that I'll be sharing with y'all for months and months on now. yeah, with that being said, too, as well, shout out to Complex Angel, because without you, there would be no DC and there would be no Self-Love Is My Rehab. And shout out to God as well for all the positive vibes and energy that he has, you know, given me, and I've been able to utilize that and, you know, become a better person each and every day. Shout out to Dynamic Culture Apparel. That's my baby. Don't play with it. Dynamic Culture Apparel, the definition of nothing to something. Loving yourself while leveling up at the same damn time. The grind is dynamic. The swag is dynamic. The self-love is dynamic. I am dynamic. And shout out to Positive Vibes and Energy and everyone else. And shout out to Negative Vibes and Energy that people may have. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, we love you still. We just wait for you to catch up, Mustard.
I love it. Okay, so I'm going to shout you out, Tyronda, for coming on. Thank you for dropping heavy gems. We have to get you rotated in to come back on. You know, I'll definitely talk to you and see what your availability is, but we have to. shout out to this podcast. You know, I don't give it enough credit. It has helped me to become a better person in my relationship with myself and in friendships, even as a family member. Lord knows I am trying to stay humble with them, but I love y'all. But this podcast is helping me. Shout out to my co-host, King K, for our podcast, Queens of Vibes and Visions. Please tune in tomorrow, y'all. We are having our first women's panel for the season, called He Won't Marry My Ways. We're going to talk about it,
yes,
so tune in tomorrow. And shout out to my book, No Apologies, because it did set the platform for Self Love My Rehab and Queens of Vibes and Visions. Forgot the damn podcast, sorry. And shout out to God, because without him, I wouldn't have a personal relationship with myself. So, with that being said, Tyronda, before we get off the phone tonight, are you ready to get your mind stimulated?
Yes.
Okay. DC, drop it.
Let's stimulate that mind code.
Okay. So I had to switch to stimulate your mind question around because Tyronda was dropping heavy gems. I'm like, I want to see her answer this. So the question is, do you feel we have fallen into the pattern of not giving the next generation the space, the safe space to talk about sex? And I mean, like, you know, their curiosity, desires, and thoughts on it. I'm going to let you answer first, Tarlanda.
Okay. So I feel like this question is multifaceted. I know growing up, I feel like growing up, my family was very, like, my personal family, like my mom and dad, they were very open, like, about sex and things like that. Not, like, about sex in general, but, like, I was watching those videos and reading those books, like, my body will be changing. This is what puberty is like. This is what's going to happen to you once you go through puberty and how you can have kids and stuff. So I had that education growing up. Now, when it came to actually, like, having personal feelings about sex and things like that, my parents were not nearly as open. I don't even think I ever even told my dad that I was having sex. Like, I just felt like it was just not even a conversation that I even had with him. And I think my mom asked me one day, and I was just like, yeah. So, So in those respects, I feel like parents can sometimes be like, oh, I want to teach my kids about it. A lot of parents don't. Like, they feel like it's a don't ask, don't tell policy, which I feel like is terrible. But I also feel like a lot of parents, they feel like they don't know how to have those conversations with their kids without making it, without feeling like that they're promoting it to their children. Like, sometimes kids are just curious, and you can have those conversations with them and let them know. So I feel like we could do better with doing that for the next generation, like letting them know the reality of different things when it comes to sex, instead of just acting like, oh, well, I don't want them to know anything about it because I don't want them to engage in it. Because a lot of studies do show that the more children are educated on sex, the longer they wait to actually get into it.
There you go.
So it's like, if you want your child to prolong it, maybe you should talk to them about it.
Well, I'll let you know right now, I am a father of an 11-year-old girl, so may I say it's already stressful as hell enough for the simple fact that I do have a daughter. But to answer the question, I feel like it could get better for sure. You know, like Tyronda said, like I went through pretty much the same situation where, you know, it was pretty much taught, you know, within school, so to speak, you know what I'm saying? And not necessarily within, you know, the household, you know what I'm saying? Because I guess there was no necessary signs to say like, okay, you doing this, this and that. Now it's time to talk to you about the do's and the don'ts, the well, what was the saying, like the bees and the butterflies or whatever the hell they used to say
the
back
in the
day?
The birds and the bees,
yeah, the birds and the bees and shit, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, like the education on it nowadays, for sure, it has to be implemented, you know, within the schools a little bit more, a hell of a lot more within the household, because, and this is just based on my experience, back then growing up, there was no, and please do not shoot me for saying this, but there wasn't necessarily no Cardi B's, no Megan Thee Stallions, no, you know, no internet, you know, like that. So,
what the hell, Tom?
No certain platforms to pretty much expose those sexualities. You know what I'm saying? Like, hear me out, though. Because, like, back then, like I said, don't shoot me yet. I know you got the clip ready. You ready to bust. But like back in my day, like I didn't necessarily notice the rage of wanting to engage into sexual activities and or being triggered by the curiosities as well. Because I mean, the people that I hung around growing up, and this is just based on my experience. This could be different for anybody else. I'm just telling you based on mine. But I grew up just about pretty much. It was about fighting and video games. Like, that's the, you know what I'm saying, that's the era, that's the neighborhood I kind of grew up in, you know what I'm saying? So, like, there was no curiosity about it until, unfortunately, around 13-ish, when, you know, my virginity was kind of, like, taken from me, in a sense, you know what I'm saying? So that's when the curiosity kind of kicked in really hard, was, you know, because, like, my babysitter, you know, like, me and her, we was kicking it one day, and it was just like, whoop, bop, boom. You know what I'm saying? Like, it shit happened. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't know what to do. I thought kissing was the first part of sex. Like, I thought we was done. And it was like, wait, you doing what? Oh, shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was just like, oh, my damn. Like, I didn't know what else to do. Like, but, like, I feel like my time then versus today, like, it's like the conversation or the openness about sex is so much more than what I took notice of back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Like, even around, like, the age 16, 17, like we were kind of, like, doing things on our own type of shit. Like, if we had a house to ourselves, we were sneaking motherfuckers in. Like, point blank period. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's when it kind of got really, like, heavy then. But that was only because we had to pretty much look for the shit. Like, it's pretty much out there now. Like, it's just so out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, even kids that's, like, the age of 13, 14 are, like, you know, playing adult roles nowadays. You know what I'm saying? Like, kids is just too damn grown for their own good. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that happens a lot within the household with the lack of, you know, not keeping them informed about shit. You know what I'm saying? Like Tyronda said, like, prolonging the curiosity about sex. You know what I'm saying? Like, once you have that curiosity out there, you know what I'm saying? Like, you tend to gravitate towards it because you're curious about the shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's my take on it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, like, from what I've seen versus now, like, I feel like we definitely need to, you know, wrap our arms around our kids and, you know, really, you know, be informative about, you know, certain things, you know, as it comes along, but don't wait on it. You know, mm-hmm. until they can basically figure it out on their own, and then, you know, it becomes like the next hobby type of shit. You know what I'm saying? To where, like, they can't get enough of just, like, sneaking around doing the shit. Because as we all know, we were kids at one point. We were sneaky as shit. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we find ways to, you know, commit to things.
Can I unload now? Is it time to unload?
Sure. Unload your AK-47.
Because I want to know.
Crazy, you got
I want to know. No, I didn't get mad. I was curious. What times did you grow up in? Because I remember at 7 years old, Trina was out, back that ass up. You need a hot girl, I got one. Like, all of that. Like, that. What? Like, you could find pornos in your mother and your dad's bedroom in their drawers. Like, sex was still easy to access back then. But I really feel like parents really did fall under, like, you know what I'm saying, not really letting us know stuff. Like, we had to be sneaky. We had to be curious. Like, I know for me, the way my mama found out that I was having sex one time, I did not get a menstrual cycle for, like, 2 months. And I had only had sex, I think, like, twice that time. And I had used protection. But didn't really have talks with my parents and everything. You know, we had health class, but it's kind of hard to take health class serious when people are laughing at, you know what I'm saying, what they're showing on the TV, because it's like, this isn't educational, it's porno. Come on, y'all know we had class clowns back in the day. So it's really hard to take that serious. So it's like, I had to do a lot of bumps and bruises, you know what I'm saying, on my own to figure out what it was. And I remember, like, I was freaking out, like, oh my God, I didn't get a menstrual cycle. What the hell? Did he poke a hole in it? And it's like, I was scared to tell my mom. So I just asked for some money. I went up to CVS, got a pregnancy test. I think I was like 18 or 19 at the time. And, you know, basically the stick had broke, the first one. So my mom came home, and I'm still like, I need to find out if I'm pregnant. So I asked her for some more money. She was like, I had just gave you money early this morning. What do you need it for? And I had no choice but to tell her. So, you know, I don't know. It's like, she was just really shocked. Like, how did we get to this point? And I was looking at her like, what you mean? How did we get to this point? You never talked to me about it. So I got curious, and curiosity killed the cat. So, yeah, but I don't know. I ask this question because I worry about, like, when my niece and nephews come to me about sex, if they feel like they can't talk to their parents about it. Am I going to be uncomfortable, or will I be able to talk to them about it? Because it's like Tyronda said, you want them to feel comfortable to come to you and talk about it. Even if they are talking about, hey, listen, I'm thinking about, I'm I'm ready to go right now. You know what I'm saying? Talk to me about it, because it's so much that goes into sex that I wish that I would have had talks with my parents about. I wish that I would have known about how, like, how hormonal and emotional you get and everything, and, like, sometimes, like, it's just so much that goes into it, you know, like, you get emotionally in, like, invested in this person, and then sometimes a guy can just, like, quit you, you know what I'm saying, or even a girl can quit a guy. I'm not even going to say that it's just always girls, but it's just so much emotion that goes behind it, and it's like, don't think, my mama used to feel like if I don't talk about it, it will never happen. No, because if you're not educating, somebody else out there is definitely introducing your child to this. So, yeah, that's my take on it. But I didn't shoot you too bad, did I, DC?
Oh, no, you shouldn't have shot me at all, because to answer your question, I had already explained it before you tried to shoot at me. I grew up around beating niggas' ass and playing video games.
I wish I would have grew up with you, because, man, my sister listened to Trina and all that, and I was just like, oh my god, wait, are we really talking about this? So yeah, I was introduced to it early, but hey, two different childhoods. But as I digress, I'm gonna let you end this out with the quote of the dynamic quote of the week.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the closed caption of the night. Some heavy gems dropped tonight, man. Like, I'm going to have to re-listen to this podcast just to be in all over again. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is one of the top ones. Not to knock anybody else's appearances, but, you know, Rhonda, you definitely dropped some gems tonight. We loved having you on, and hopefully we can get you back on again for sure. But, yeah, so with that being said, the dynamic quote for tonight is, control how you respond to things sent to destroy your peace. And I picked this quote tonight because this one hit hard for me going through my sobriety phases that I honestly didn't know what, you know, could possibly trigger any type of, you know, negativity. But, you know, going through a sobriety and really trying to find a new peace of mind and a new self-love for myself, and basically just getting my shit together. I never knew that, you know, well, I guess in a sense you knew, but I mean, I guess you never felt like you can personally experience, you know, going through self-rehabilitation and, you know, have people, you know, devils disguised as people to basically come into your life and just kind of like try to wreck it, you know what I'm saying, without you even noticing it. And then before you know it, like, you know, you take action upon, you know, the devil's retaliation, and, you know, like everything you worked for is gone. But, you know, I've had those moments happen, you know, during my sobriety to where, like, you know, slightly triggered it, but, you know, there was no action taken upon it. You know, I just kind of, you know, talked to God, you know, every single day about it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to get into full detail about it, but, you know, it was kind of like an emotional letdown, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? And it made me question a lot, like, you know, like, what am I doing this for? Yada, yada, yada. But I say that to say, you know, regardless of what may come your way, you know, build that state of mind to be strong and, you know, aware of your surroundings, you know what I'm saying, whether that's a person, place, or thing, and, you know, conquer anything that tries to tamper with your peace, because at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, everybody's on a journey to, you know, establish a high level of self-love and a peace of mind, you know, so guard those with your life, talk to God about it every single day to help strengthen you every single day. Because the devil works just as much as God does, unfortunately. But God has a higher power, a higher strength. So, yeah, control your peace. You know what I'm saying? Control your actions, you know, over negativity any day. Because God got your back more than anybody else does. And with that being said, peace and love. We are out.
Peace and love.
Good night, everybody.